you're going to get a lot of money. If American Pharoah were to finish maybe second, but especially third in the trifecta, you're going to make a pretty good. You're going to get a pretty good price. I'm not a huge fan of Keen Ice myself, but he definitely would pay a lot. You know, I'd probably look at in a trifecta. I'd look at Frosted, Materiality, and Made from Lucky, and then you know maybe just take the field underneath.
And go from there. Now, Michael, you have not met the chief. I think you, the chief, and Brad would have one hell of a time.
Oh yeah,
in a betting parlor. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I heard the chief earlier. I just caught a little bit of him. What's his background?
He's a commodities trader, natural gas. He traded.
Well, that's great background for a horse player. No, it is. I mean, it really is. You know, because you've got the basic philosophy down. You're trying to buy when others are selling. You're trying to sell when others are buying. That's what it's all about.
Well, and he had such success. He retired what, in his 30s?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's trying to. Hey, Stretch, you could give him career advice. He's trying to get into sports radio. Would you recommend that?
I wouldn't recommend that to anyone. No,
he gives good advice there.
No, you know, it's on the one hand, you could argue that the talent pool is thin, but there is an oversupply.
Brad, I got to tell you, Mike's been joining me on Mondays and Fridays. I have a lot of fun throughout the week, but it's a lot of fun when Mike is on with me because it reminds me of when we were on KQ together. And this is what's great about having you two guys on because it's fun. It's like flashing back.
Yeah, it is. It's like a little stretchy. He's very good at football betting. My goodness.
And hey, Mike, I've been getting people. Hopefully that you're going to be up to that. They want to see you or hear you.
Yeah.
Your football picks in the fall. People are every time I mention you, is Mike going to do his football picks? And I said, I sure hope that's the plan because that'd be a lot of fun.
Well, I'm definitely going to be picking I'll be making a few plays. Let's put it that way. I may not have and I may not look at all the games or have a bankroll, but I'll definitely be talking about games.
That'd be great.
Like.
Yeah, Stretch, are you healthy? Are you good at the moment?
I'm good. You know, the last year that we were on the morning show, I had a very big year, as a matter of fact, with football picks. But I also had some, multiple kidney stones that kind of left me at the mat. So this year I'm hoping to do not quite as well with football picks, but stay out of the hospital.
Your brain is good. Your brain is good.
His brain sounds great, Brad. What are you talking about?
No, well, he knows that there's dementia in the family. So,
I'm asking. I like it. I'm sure people will want to know. Stretch is good, and are you making love at the moment, Stretch?
Women, though, you added that caveat, which really changes everything.
Hey, Brad, I wish we could go on for the next hour, but time flew by. Brad Blanks, Mike Gelfand, thank you so much. Yeah. Mike, we'll talk to you Monday. Brad, I can't wait to talk to you again.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
Great to hear your voice, mate.
See you soon. Yeah. I'm sure I'll see you soon, Brad.
Yep. Yeah. All right,
take it easy. Brad and Brad Blanks and Mike Gelfand, we're going to take a quick break. Come back. We got a little D-bag of the day coming up. I got a little sports joke for you. And we have Ruth Lorden joining us. Going to ask her about, ask her about the Belmont. We'll ask her about AP, and we'll have a little fun. Be right back.
This is Carl Eller. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
Joined Radioactive Sports at the office on Washington Avenue for Twins Ticket Friday.
The superstar Mike Morris and I will be there from 4 to 7 outside on the patio, along with our ticket girls, giving away tickets to that night's game and future games.
From the office on Washington and 844 Hay Workers, get fueled up before the game with $3 cold domestic drafts and a great full menu.
Radioactive Sports, live at the office on Washington before Friday Twins home games. Then walk right over to Target Field.
Finally, an office you can have fun at with Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You know, we pretty much have one candidate, not even a candidate. He's the slam dunk winner. I'm guessing that if you had got silver into your system, it could make you a little goofy because silver couldn't be good for your mind or your brain, right? If it got into your system, right?
Most metal elements are not
it's
good
medicine.
To be in your system.
Not a good one, though. Ruth Lorden will be joining us. Well, she's here now, but we'll talk to her about some things going on. But John Bolin, son of Broncos owner Pat Bolin, was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Maybe that's why he's gone all wacky. because he, well, he was arrested yesterday or last night because his girlfriend called 911. This actually was Wednesday night. The call was cut short, and the last thing the operator heard was a woman screaming, presumably the girlfriend. The operator called back, and this time John Boland picked up, and he went on a weird rant, which he claimed he was the owner of the Broncos. He's one of seven children of Pat Boland, by the way, who is reported to be dealing with dementia. And he said, John Boland said, that he's dealing with a, quote, crazy girlfriend, and said that he called himself the blood of the city. As the blood of the city, I'm telling you, nothing is wrong. And then he said, I'm a man of the city, a friend of the mayor, and everybody knows exactly who I am. I'm going through a lot. She's leaving right now. Nothing is wrong. I love you guys. Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, the 911 operator sent police to Boland. He was arrested on domestic violence charges. The girlfriend claimed that he was doing... Now, you're a young guy. May you do whippets? You know what a whippet is, right?
I know what it is. I've never done it.
It's that... What is the some sort of
nitrous oxide?
Nitrous oxide, thank you. And you can get them from they're the things you put into charge up, like it's the type of stuff that charges up cans if you're getting like for whipped cream and that sort of thing.
Yep.
And who would think you can get high from that stuff? But apparently, I never would have known it, but you can. And that's what she was claiming he was doing. So he is without a doubt, he is our D bag of the day, 29-year-old John Boland. And he was in line to be the owner of this team. What is it with that? Maybe it's the Mile High air. Because remember John Elway's kid got in trouble, too, for domestic violence? Mm-hmm. He actually, I think, wound up getting was found guilty of it. So that's not a good thing for the Broncos or the family. And John Boland, by this 29-year-old, has been placed on indefinite leave of absence from the organization. My guess is, as the owner's son, he's getting paid. He's being paid while on leave.
Probably.
I doubt that the family's going to... He'll just start whining and complaining that he's not getting his dough. And it was John Elway III arrested and convicted of attacking his girlfriend during a heated argument. That was in Arizona last year. So that was not a good thing. And this one, you know, I'd like to... 651-989-9105, if you have them. When you have a good one, give us a call. I want to do now, Ruth, if you have one after this, please share it with us. It's a little sport... Like, we'll call it the sports joke of the day. Little old lady walking down the street dragging two large plastic garbage bags behind her. One of the bags was ripped, and every once in a while, a $20 bill fell onto the sidewalk. A cop noticed this, stopped her, and said, "Ma'am, there are $20 bills falling out of that bag." "Oh, really? Darn it," said the little old lady. "I'd better go back and see if I can find them. Thanks for telling me, officer." And the officer said, "No, not so fast. Where'd you get all that money? You didn't steal it, did you?" And the woman says, "Oh, no, no, no. You see, my backyard is right next to a golf course. A lot of golfers come and urinate through a knot hole in my fence, right into my flower garden. Used to really tick me off. Kills the flowers, you know. Then I thought, why not make the best of it? So now I stand behind the fence by the knot hole, real quiet, with my hedge clippers. Every time some guy, you know, puts his business through the fence, I surprise him, grab a hold of it, and say, 'Okay, buddy, give me $20 or off it comes.' 'Well, that seems only fair,' said the cop, laughing. 'Okay, good luck. Oh, by the way, what's in the other bag?' The old lady says, 'Not everybody pays.'"
No way!
So, if you have a sports joke of the day, 651-989-9105. Ruth, do you have any sports jokes? Next week, come in with a few. Because, I mean, that one, when the guy sent it to me, I'm thinking, oh, God, this thing is long. I thought the payoff was pretty good, though. It was funny. Anyway, let's start with Adrian Peterson. You have been saying for months that you saw him in purple, and that would appear to be the case after he showed up earlier in the week. Don't get cocky, Ruth. After he showed up early in the week and is beginning to mend the fences and rehabbing his image, and I'll ask now, do you see him not only still in purple, but in January, do you see him in purple? Do you see him being with the team at the end of the season and healthy throughout the season?
Healthy, no. Remember, I keep seeing that he'll play a couple of games. There's a few things that go through my mind. First of all, I have a deep psychic feeling that experimental surgery he had in Europe that was miraculous and wonder is like most of these that I know about. I have friends who've had the same miraculous knee surgery that Michael Jordan had.
This is where they basically take your blood and recycle
whatever
it.
He did. No, he did some special. And anyway, these things are good for a few years, and then problems start. Number one. Number two, I get a psychic feeling that he's the man to hit. People are going to be gunning for him.
Well, because he's the best, you know, he's the best running back in football.
So they're going to, you know.
But they've always done that to him.
Yeah, and they're going to get him. I don't. They have the past few years. He gets injured.
Well, he did a few years ago with the knee.
Mm-hmm. Now, and last year.
Now, do you
two
see.
2 years ago.
What kind, okay, do you see him being with the team for most of the season or just something happening early in the season?
Something happens early, but I think he may come back. But he's not Mr. Ace. I hope he is, and I'm going to even light a little candle for him to maybe change it because we need it. Because you ask about a sports joke. Hello, I've got one here. Dad, what's the Super Bowl? I don't know, son. We're Vikings.
That may need some work, but I get the point. Now, what about...
Turn off your microphone.
Thankfully, it was short. What about, let's switch over now to horse racing. Now, I know you've liked the Derby. You actually were in Vegas, tried betting the Belmont Stakes, and they wouldn't let you. And this was last week, right?
Yes, because I wanted to place my, as you all know, those of you who have listened to me, Miss Conservative, and you've made money, I liked my show bets. They would not let me place anything but betting that American Pharoah would win.
So you could not,
until today.
You could not do an exacta or a trifecta.
No, or a win play show or anything.
Now, do you see American Pharoah winning?
I would bet him to place. Something funky is going to happen. I would bet him to place.
Okay.
And everybody there discouraged you from even betting him to win because they say the odds are going to go down so far you'll lose money on the bet.
Well, but okay, then who do you see winning? I mean, there's Materiality, there's Frosted, there's Keen on
that
Ice.
That Frosted's going to do something. I'm not sure what it's going to do, but Frosted's going to do something. And that horse with luck in its name, that I get a good vibe about. Materiality may pull something off, but I see a problem with its foot or its leg. And there can be an accident on this stakes. Is there any rain there right now? Because I saw a little mud. I saw something coming.
And they've had bad weather earlier in the week, but I don't know if they're going to have it for the stakes.
I mean, American Pharoah is the ace horse. I mean, you look at that horse. You don't even need to be psychic to say
he's
a superstar. He's got better legs than Adrian Peterson, for God's sakes. I mean, that horse has got it. But he may not totally win it. I would bet it's place.
So you think let me give you some names here, all right? And let's see which one you feel is going to. Keen Ice is one. Okay, American Pharoah. Keen Ice, American Pharoah. Made from Lucky.
That has a shot, but I'm not sure what. Maybe nice. Show. I bet that one to show.
Mubtahij, right? Materiality.
Mm-hmm. Materiality is a show bet.
So, okay, so you think...
Because that's a favorite. That's a show bet.
All right, and my computer froze up, so I can only give you the...
Woo, that's something.
No, believe me, that's something that happens more than once. But you are liking... Well, it sounds like you're like Made from Lucky. There's something about that one. And Frosted is also another horse in the race.
I could be wrong. I like those, but I would bet American Pharoah to place. I'd bet those other ones to show.
And you're not betting on the Triple Crown, having a Triple Crown winner. You don't. Now, you're saying bet on American Pharoah to place, but that's when you've done that before, that's to guarantee yourself of money.
Yeah, because, I've always liked to bet to show, which means you win if they come in first, second, or third. Here, well, I'm being a little more daring and saying just bet it to second.
But do you see the horse winning is the question.
I really can't yet. I don't see. I get a vision.
But you like the casino. You don't want to commit.
I get a vision, and I don't see clearly. I see the horse finishing, and I see him more finishing second than I see him finishing first.
All right.
And which horse is... kind of black. Who's the black horse that I see finishing first?
There's plenty of them that are.
There's a black horse.
You don't see many white
ones. He's wearing like blue. He's wearing blue, like a turquoise blue, like that color blue.
Tale of Verve is another one in Fermento. I have no idea what colors they're wearing.
As a matter of fact,
American Pharoah in his workouts wears blue.
That bright blue.
That it's exact same color.
I'm really seeing him more like a second, but it's a nudge away.
Yeah, well, those nudges away could ruin you.
Can do it, yeah.
And that doesn't mean that keeps you from winning a Triple Crown when you're that little bit away.
Everybody's expecting him to win. That's the point. He's expected to win. I just think anything can happen, and I'm just being safe. I would bet him to place.
All right. And now you'd bet no one to win because you never do.
Mm-mm.
Now, Ruth Lorden, at Psychic Ruth, ruthlorden.com. You went to Vegas, and you tried to bet the Vikings for what year to win the Super Bowl?
2017, I wanted to bet them for the playoffs, and 2016, and I was going to play the Super Bowl for 2017 because I'm seeing them getting some young superstar, and they're going to do it. They're going to be good.
Well, the problem is, though, you understand they're not going to take any bets until the previous season's been played, so they can see where they are. So I know you're disappointed about
it. Yes.
You'll just have to make another trip there. Now, Ruth, where are you going to be the rest of our tonight?
Tonight, I'm at the Poorhouse from 4 to 7 for in-person. I do a lot of readings for people on FaceTime and on the phone.
Okay.
I'm at the Medina Wednesdays and Thursday nights. Actually, tomorrow morning, I'm going to be having some fun. You might catch me at Farmer's Market. I'll be there with CJ because we're going to be doing an interview and making candied jalapenos.
God,
No, it's not chocolate.
Please.
And M&M candy.
Okay, candied jalapenos, it's kind of, isn't that sort of an odd combination?
Well, candied, I think, because I saw these ingredients, they're garlic and turmeric and honey. It's like a caramelized.
Let me just say this, enjoy it. Ruth Lorden, thank you, at Psychic Ruth, ruthlorden.com. We are going to take a quick break, and when we return, be back with Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa. Be right back with Jim.
The Bob Sansevier Show on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
It's time for racing at the Tricky Triangle, Pocono Raceway, with the Exalta We Paint Winners 400. Tune in NASCAR Sprint Cup Sunday at 11 a.m.
That's the battle for the lead at turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show, Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We're going to be joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. And I'll tell you what, Jim, you have a huge fan in the young man who just called you, because he called you sports column conqueror at Suhan Strib.
You know, even if that's meant as a compliment, that sounds like way too much responsibility for someone like me.
You don't want that hung on you.
No, you know, that sounds like work or something. people throughout history have wanted, you know, let's conquer this nation, let's conquer this continent. But what happens after you conquer? Then you actually have to deal with people. That's no fun.
Well, he makes you sound like Attila the Suhan.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? The thing is, I'm not that tough either. I mean, so you know, between lacking discipline, not wanting responsibility, not being that tough, I don't think I'm the man for the job. I really don't.
No, you know, you're selling yourself short on that one.
Yeah.
And I always like reading what you put just before you come on. And we've got to talk Twins Brewers, but who do you like in that horsey thing, as you put it?
Well, you know, everybody's pulling for American Pharoah because unless you're some kind of diehard horse racing fan, I don't know any these days. They're very much, you know, Bob, if you go back through the decades, as we always do, you know, back in the day, you know, the Triple Crown in horse racing is one of those big things like boxing, you know, and tennis, you know, things like that, things that we occupied with ourselves. So now all anybody cares about, well, 99% of the people care about is whether somebody wins Triple Crown. So American Pharoah's got a shot, but, you know, the thing isn't really set up for one horse to win it all. They're, you know, going to be facing, going a different distance, going to be facing fresh horses that didn't race in one or two or two of the other Triple Crown legs. It's hard to predict that he's actually going to pull it off.
Well, you know, the way I look at it, I've seen plenty of them. I saw three of them in like a 5 or 6 year span. Secretary of Seattle slew and affirmed. To me, it's old hat. Now, it was a few years ago, 37 or so, but it's not like it hasn't happened before. So I don't really care if he wins. I guess I'd like to see him win, but if he doesn't, oh well, maybe next year.
Well, the funny thing is, too, that back in those days when we were young, back in before talking movies and all that stuff, you actually had baseball players winning Triple Crowns, too.
That's right.
Stremski, you had Frank Robinson win two in 2 years, and now that's almost impossible. It's the age of specialization, Bob.
It's true. You're not seeing a Triple Crown. Oh, you did? Yeah, we did see Miggy do it, but that was, that would have been, what's that, 2 years ago he did it when he won his Triple Crown?
Yes, but that's how rare it is. That was the first one since what, 67 or something like that?
Since Yastrzemski did it. Now, I don't think we have any Triple Crown winners on the Twins. However, when you take a look at what Torrey's done, Torrey Hunter, 35 ribbies already, had the home run that started they're down 4-0, gets them rallied to tie it up, and then in the ninth inning, Mahler to telling Mauer to bunt, and the sequence after that, you know, the throw goes under the third baseman Sandoval's glove, they wind up scoring four more runs. They are they're finding ways to get the darn thing done, and they're a game up. So it should be a fun series from this weekend. You think they do well, but that's when you usually get let down.
Yeah, you never know in baseball, but they do have good pitching matchups. And, you know, to touch on three things you mentioned. A, Torrey Hunter. We all knew he'd be a great guy for the organization, a great guy in the clubhouse. He's been even better in that regard than I expected, and I think very highly of him, but he's been even better. And he's been the ultimate clubhouse transformer. He's taken a bad clubhouse and made it a great clubhouse. Mauer is fascinating. I mean, there was a time early in Target Field history, like 2011 or something, when Joe Bunt like had runners on in scoring position and he tried to bunt for a hit and we all jumped down his throat. This was a manager saying, okay, here's my three-time batting champ, the $23 million man, runners in scoring position late in a game, tie game. I better have him bunt. That is an amazing admission of where Joe Mauer is in his career right now, because he was great. He was on his way to the Hall of Fame. Then he had the mystery injury in 2011, and we thought, okay, that cost him a couple of years. Then, okay, the concussions, then you have to move him out from behind catcher. Okay, then last year was going to be the year where finally it was just a healthy first baseman, and it'll hit. Well, then he had the aches and pains that kept him from working out part of the winter. He never really got it going. And this is going to be the year, okay, settlement at first base, aches and pains gone, no injury problems, worked out hard all winter, and hitting 260 with a sub-700 OPS. He's hitting like a utility infielder. You start looking at the future of the Twins. He doesn't fit. He really doesn't, and there's no way to get rid of him. I've defended him for many years when other people were ripping him, saying, hey, he still hits, he still gets on base, he still plays the position of need. It's getting to the point now where he just doesn't fit in here.
Well, you know, we had the question earlier about do you move him down in the lineup or, you know, move him to 5, 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there? But that's something that I don't see them unless he just completely falls apart. There's too much respect for him and the $23 million to do that, right? Or do you see a scenario where they could move him down? What will it take for that to happen?
I think they will move him. The interesting thing is they might move him the other way.
Up.
He might be a two-hitter, which is, by a two-hitter, I don't mean a modern two-hitter where you're trying to get the guy alive at bat. I mean the old-school two-hitter where you have a guy who can slap the ball around and get on base and run the bases well. And again, he's playing like a utility infielder. They might use him like that in the lineup. I don't think Mauer, I think the sacrifice bunt was a really good indication that Mauer's not going to just, you know, kiss Mauer's ring day in and day out. He's going to do whatever's best for the team. Mauer has benefited in terms of staying in the number three hole by the fact that they haven't had a deep lineup. They haven't had a good five hitter. They haven't had, you know, I mean, if Santana and Vargas were both producing, then you look at the lineup and say, okay, Mauer should bat like either second, again, as a slap hitter, or sixth, you know, but that hasn't happened, so Mauer stayed in place. But eventually, you know, what he's doing at the plate is just, and the saving grace so far has been he's hitting 400 with runners in scoring position.
Well, that's a big saving grace, yeah.
That's the only thing that saved him. The raw numbers otherwise are horrible.
But even what Mahler decided last night, it was so unexpected, and it led to, it did wind up leading for various reasons to them getting enough runs, getting four runs in the inning.
Well, there are games, over 162 games, there are games you win, there are games you're destined to win, there are games you're destined to lose, there are games you squeak out. I mean, that was, Frank, let's be honest, the Red Sox just choked that game away. The Red Sox were horrible. They had a 4-0 lead against a team that was struggling to score runs. And they let him back in with Torrey's homer, and then they just threw the ball all over the place. And the Twins were playing horribly in that game, and they still won going away. I don't look at that as much as a Twins victory as a Red Sox choked up.
Now, you mentioned when we talked about Torrey Hunter. When's the first year you started covering the team? You covered him as a beat for a while, mid-90s, or was it...
My first spring training, the first thing I did, my first spring training covering the team was 1993. Right after I got off the Vikings beat.
Okay.
And Torrey Hunter was like the first guy I met. It was his first, and he was in big league camp because he had been a first round draft pick, and they used to have a clause in contracts where they got the first round draft pick to get to go to big league camp. So I basically met Torrey
when he came in.
At the beginning of my beat writing career, at the beginning of his Twins career. And he was sitting between Puckett and Winfield, and that was, that was, I mean, that was one of the great experiences in my sports writing career, is to go over in that corner and talk to those guys about baseball.
And at the time, Puckett obviously was a clubhouse leader, and well, you had Winfield in there. But in the time, Torrey Spinner was around for a lot of it, but who was the best clubhouse leader the Twins have had? Is it Torrey when you look back? And is he a better clubhouse leader now than he was before when he was a pretty good one?
That's a really good question. Puckett was probably the best. The ability to needle everybody to start to start the activity in the clubhouse, to be a team spokesman without ever saying anything that would bother anybody. Puckett had the gift. And, you know, as a writer, you're always trying to get people to say something that means something.
Yep.
Puckett had the gift of always being available and never saying anything, which from a PR and a team standpoint is kind of good. Your superstar's out there on camera all the time, and he's never saying anything that would bother anybody. I think Puckett was the best. I think Torrey Hunter now is the second best leader I've seen in a clubhouse. Torrey Hunter, before he left the Twins, he was a leader, but it wasn't as overt. It was more, he was more of a good guy than a true leader. This time around, he came back and said, I'm going to be a, I used to have that conversation with him. You know, we talked about leadership, said, I don't know what leadership really is. I play hard. I try to be a good guy. I try to be a good teammate. I don't know if that makes me a leader. This time coming back, it was, I'm the leader of this team. I'm going to change the way this clubhouse works, and he's made it happen.
He's done a hell of a job with it, no question. You know, as I asked the question, my mind started going to the Vikings. I mean, I've been around this team since 84, and I'm trying to think who of the who was the best team leaders I've seen with the Vikings. And, I mean, I guess there's a few. Two of them happen to be offensive linemen. Kirk Loudermilk was a hell of a team leader, and so was Matt Burke. And on defense, well, Studwell was while he was here, you know, as a player. But I think Kevin Williams was a strong team leader, but a quiet one. But these guys all respected him. Is there someone that stood out for you?
Boy, that's a really good question. To me, one of the curses of the Vikings has been that so often their best players have not been either at the right position or necessarily had the right personality. Randy Moss, great player, not a leader. Chris Carter, incredible player, incredible worker, led by example, did not lead by demeanor.
No, nobody, his teammates didn't like him.
No, his teammates didn't like him at all. Brett Favre was kind of subversive, you know. I think Brad Johnson was a classic old school, do everything for the team leader, but he wasn't a great player, so he wasn't going to stick around long. I just haven't seen many people who fit the perfect. To me, the perfect leader is, at the top of the depth chart, revered by teammates, commands respect of everyone around him, says the right thing at the right time, handles himself on and off the field in a way that commands respect. You know, all those things that all got to tie together. And, you know, some of the best team leaders I've been around, the Vikings, were like linemen. Well, it's really hard for a lineman to lead. You kind of need it to be a vocal position. And, you know, I will say this, despite everything that's gone on in the last 9 months or so, I think the way Adrian has comported himself as a football player, maximum effort, team-oriented, plays hard, will give anything for the team. I think Adrian was something of a team leader, but he kind of lacked that element of just saying exactly the right thing at the right time, you know?
Well, and I think the team leader is the guy who is going to do the talking when things are really bad in the locker room. And, Jared Allen, from our perspective, he was a go-to guy for us. And, but I don't know if he fit that mold. You know, I'm trying to equate what Torrey Hunter has become with the Twins to who was the Viking over the years. And it's actually a real tough one to come up with.
It is. And I really think in football, it's almost always got to be your quarterback or your middle linebacker, because they're going to call the signals. They're going to be in the middle of things. They affect everybody around them. If your leader isn't a linebacker, a middle linebacker, or a quarterback, then it's kind of like the round peg in the square hole, or vice versa, whatever that stupid cliche is.
That's a good way to look at it. And when if you think of the Timberwolves, well, when Garnett was here, clearly it was his team.
Yes.
And they all took their cue from him. So he was certainly, I wasn't crazy about the way he handled it with making people wait in the media for 40 minutes or an hour. But as the team went, he certainly was leader on that. And now it's obvious with the Wild, you know, Parisi's the unquestioned leader. He doesn't have to have the C on his shirt to be the unquestioned leader of the team.
Yeah, and Garnett, I think Garnett was one of those split personality athletes too, in that I think he was a great competitor, a great leader in a lot of ways. But you know, he wasn't great with other people in the organization. I've heard that story many times. Certainly wasn't good with, like, media and people he thought wanted something from him. And obviously wasn't very good with teammates of a certain demographic he didn't necessarily like.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can really be called a great leader if you're going to go around punching some of his teammates.
Yeah, well, it's a good, who was it, Rick Rickert that he hit?
Rick Rickert, every white guy ever played for the Wolves he punched, I think.
Well, so he and Wally went at it. There was a physical. Was there an altercation with them too?
I don't know if it got physical with Wally. I think Wally might have been smart or timid enough just to stay away from him. But
yeah.
he certainly lambasted Wally on occasion.
Yeah, well, it's he's mellowed now, so I'm sure things will work out fine. Now we were talking earlier about this. Does it make sense to you? I think, well, you got to do your due diligence. David Helmer and I were talking about our producer, but they're going to bring in D'Angelo Russell and. Manuel Mudiay.
Yep.
The only thing that makes sense diligence is if they somehow they decide they're going to trade Rubio and try to move up there. But why would you take Rubio because of his history of injuries if you're one of those teams that you could make a deal with?
Well, A, don't always assume people are smart. People make stupid trades. I mean, no. What if Jimmy Johnson had assumed that Mike Lynn was too smart to take Herschel Walker?
Yeah.
You know, you got to put it out. So number of things here. I don't think they'll trade the first pick, but what if somebody offered them like a top five pick and a great player? Well, then you trade the number one pick, and knowing you're still going to get one of the top five players in a five deep draft, might be a six deep draft, and get another great player. So, you know, no matter what they say, trading the first pick is still always going to be a possibility until they don't. And then what you just brought up, what if they get an opportunity to keep the number one pick and trade up into the top seven or something, and one of these players could be there? They're in great shape. I don't know how it's going to play out, but they are in tremendous shape in terms of assets and leverage. And as I talked about the other day, you know, let's not just, this means Flip knows how to spin things and say things publicly. Let's not just assume that he loves Ricky Rubio and everything about Ricky Rubio. You're talking about a guy who is fragile and can't shoot. You know, he plays great defense. He's a great passer. He's a good guy, all those things. But he's fragile and he can't shoot. Do you really see winning a championship with Ricky Rubio as your point guard? I'm not sure.
No, not on that context. Jim, have yourself a great weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. See you.
All right, Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. And when we get back, we're going to tell you where this city, this state, ranks among the rankest cities in America. We have the rankings of the most cursed cities, and this one's in the top 10. We'll tell you where when we return.
You gotta love the Twin Cities. Check out Pharrell on the Bench every night, 9 to 1 a.m., baby, on 105 The Ticket.
Imagine the damage Steph Curry would be doing in the NBA if he didn't have such a girly name. Hashtag change it to Steve.
That's funny. Thank you for the Frankie Valli there.
Friday.
That's Steph Curry. Was he on Jimmy Kimmel with that?
Yeah, he was on Jimmy Kimmel. It was actually funny. It kind of trailed off and the crowd overtook, so I had to cut it out. But he adds, after the change it to Steve, he said, Steve, that's a terrible name for it. And then he stops and goes, oh, man, that's my coach's name.
That's Steve Kerr. That's funny. That's a good one. Now, I got to give you a little bit of a list. There's a list New York Times compiled of the most cursed, as they put it, sports cities of the last 50 years. Don't you put that down too much. 50 years, number one on the list. And they had a hard luck time last night, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have not had a championship. So in the last 50 years, they've had zero. The last one was 51 years ago, the 1964 Browns NFL Championship team. And the way the Times measured it, they look as the combined number of seasons since the city's last championship, looking at the four major sports. Cleveland is up 147 seasons without a title. They also measured the percentage of seasons over the last 50 years that also have ended with a title. And, they took a look at that. They took a lot of painful losses, referees' calls. Cleveland, number one, right? Number two, with 70 combined seasons, was Atlanta. Number three was Buffalo, 101 seasons. And San Diego, they don't even, it's not even applicable because they don't go back 50 years, I guess, with four, you know, within teams. But they took a look at the football team and baseball team. Five is Washington with 79. And number six, Minneapolis, St. Paul, 87 seasons, combined seasons for the four major sports without a title. Now, clearly, this wasn't based just on the number of combined seasons, because if it was, your Vikings would have been second to overall to Cleveland. No, Buffalo, excuse me, would have been second. It was the only title they had. It must, it had to be in the NHL, because it certainly wasn't in the NFL. So,
yeah,
didn't go well for them.
Buffalo won one in late 90s or early 2000s. When they, I think they still have one. They won with Dominic Hasek, I think.
Yeah, but also they don't have a, you know, they've had an NBA team. Not, you know, I don't, they never had a baseball team. So I guess you didn't have to have all of the major sports. You had to have some of them. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk, we do a little flashback Friday here. And in the news is a story that he denies, he being Allen Iverson, that when he had that famous rant years ago about practice, you know, the practice rant by Allen Iverson, a book has come out claiming he was drunk at the time. And, well, you listen for yourself here, and if it sounds like, again, you sound being a little tipsy.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.
I'll tell you what, I mean, if I drank, I would sound something like that.
Talking about practice?
We're not talking about a game. We're talking about practice. Is practice. Now, he didn't. You know what, though? It's been so many freaking years. We're going back to what? Back to the 90s when he said this? Right?
I think that was early 2000s. Because he was a rookie in the 96, 97, or 97, 98 season. I think it was.
Well, okay, all right. 98. Let me. I could find the exact year. But the point is, we're talking decades when he said this thing. It was, okay, a 2002 press conference. Who cares if he was drunk or not?
Yeah, and it was after they got swept in the first round of the playoffs. So he was doing an end of season press conference.
Probably
letting off a little steam.
Yeah, and you know, but a guy wrote a book basically about Allen Iverson. And this is what he included in the book. I'm getting the feeling though he didn't have cooperation from Allen Iverson. It's really tough when you write a book about someone who's living and they don't cooperate.
Yeah,
it's been done many times, but it'd be nice if you can get him to respond to it. There's another guy saying that the Philadelphia Daily News columnist said that, who was at the news conference, said he was lit. If he had been sober, he would have been able to get himself out of that. He never would have gone down that path. Maybe you had to have been around him all the time to know the difference, but we all knew. Now, I certainly can say I have been in locker rooms, and I've interviewed guys who were drunk. I mean, the famous one was Tommy Kramer back in the 80s when, you know, this was the famous. He was reached on the phone by a Chicago writer. Anybody, we're going to beat the Bears. The Bears. You know, and then afterward, he claimed that he had, well, their PR department at the time spun it that he'd been up all night with a sick child. The Bears. Play anybody beat the Bears.
The Bears.
And he said that he went with that too, but honest to God, if anyone had lit a match within 5 feet of him, the whole Winter Park would have went up.
That wouldn't be good for the team. Bad for morale.
But also,
burn down,
you know,
the practice
what?
Facilities.
Tommy was a great guy, and it was not illegal to have a brew every now and again.
Another one.
Probably not. Have another one. Probably not advised. There's no gain that day. It was a Monday or a Tuesday when he was reached, because everybody beat the Bears.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Practice. I apologize for not having you prepared with the Tommy Kramer one, because I know it's out there and you could find it on online. Just type in Tommy Kramer beat the Bears and it might show up. I don't know if you can get it out there quick enough, but it happens. These guys are human just like everybody else. They may need a brew every now and then. You know, achy muscles, that might help soothe them down and get them going.
Very relaxing.
Very relaxing for a lot of people. Me, I'd go for, you know, some frozen custard. That'll relax me. A couple of pies, a pizza. Speaking of pizza, by the way, have you ever heard of a guy? He is the head of the Hayden Planetarium out in New York, right? His name is, Tyson. I got to find his exact name. I don't want to throw out a name to you that I can't give you. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Ring a bell at all?
Yes, it does. I don't know why.
Well, because he's famous. He's an astrophysicist, a cosmologist, an author. He had something. Apparently, he's a big pizza fan like I am. But I got very upset when I read it because he's right. If the cheese on a 14-inch pizza fails or falls just one inch shy of the crust, the pie is missing 30% of the cheese that could be there. That's shameful that you're screwing us out of 30% of the cheese.
That's a big number.
That is a big number. He also, good news if you're ordering a pizza tonight, it's a public service announcement. You know, if you're going to watch a game tonight, right, the Stanley Cup is on tonight?
No.
Well, something's on tonight. Twins are on tonight.
Yeah, just Twins.
That's right. Stanley Cup's tomorrow night, and on Sunday you're going to get the NBA Finals, which, by the way, you need 2 days?
Yeah,
Kyrie Irving may need 2 days, but just don't make this, because they want to have a Sunday game.
The Stanley Cup could have had a Friday and a Sunday night game.
It should. They should not have 2 days between games.
The NBA Finals could take Saturday and Monday.
Well, you're watching the Twins game tonight. Know this if you order a pie, a pizza pie. A 14-inch pizza is 154 square inches of food, nearly twice as large as the 78 square inches of a 10-inch pie. So go large!
Time is money. Money is power. Power is pizza. Pizza is knowledge.
Pizza is knowledge.
Yep. That's all you need to know.
Pizza. Always go with the big pie. There's no question about it. Now, you asked me
that.
You asked me the question early. I'm going to hit you with it. NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals. Belmont, how do you rank them in order of what you want to see?
Well, if Cleveland was able to win last night, I might rank the NBA Finals a little higher.
Well, let me just mention, the coach, David Blatt, is very worried about Kyrie Irving's MRI. It's, and I think he should be, because we saw him all limp off the floor last night, and he's concerned about it. And even though they had a knee surgeon look at it and feel around, he said he didn't think it was an ACL or an MCL. I don't think those, you can rule those out. The MRI will tell for sure. But anyway, that would have been number one.
Would have been, but I'd have to put the Stanley Cup up there. Hopefully Tampa Bay can make a series out of it, even though the Western Conference in the NHL has won 6 of the last 8 Cups. Not one of those of the 6 have gone longer than 6 games. There have been 0 game 7s for that. That is kind of counting the Red Wings. They were in the Western Conference
season. Yeah.
I just don't follow the horses that much.
Even the chance to see a Triple Crown winner.
I feel like a bandwagon hopper right here.
Well, but
jumping out. I didn't watch either of the first couple races.
But you weren't alive for the last time it happened.
No, I wasn't.
So you don't want to watch the potential of watching history. That doesn't in any way enthrall you or interest you.
Do you know what time it is?
Usually it goes, actually, they're starting early with like the pre-race stuff. I think it goes off like at 4:30 or so. Yeah, we could find it out.
Well, I should be out of here by then.
You're not still going to be here then.
Well, I'm usually here in a little bit into the afternoon, Saturdays.
Right, well,
got the baseball show.
We got TV
on deck.
Here. Yeah, well, it ends at what time?
Noon. Yeah. I still have to stick around for computer purposes.
Okay. All right. It goes off at, later than I thought, 5:50. I thought it was earlier, an hour earlier than that. The pre-race coverage begins on NBC at 1:30. How much time could you take?
I'll see what I can do.
4:30 or 3:30 is when the race coverage begins on NBC. We are going to say have a great weekend. Have a wonderful weekend. Turning things over to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. Check them out. They're over by Gate 3 of the Twins over at the office, right?
Yeah.
Go see them. What the hell? Well, looking forward to talking to you on Monday. See you then.
Or disappear into the putter's ground. When the man comes around.
Streaming worldwide at 105theticket.com. The Saturday night game of the week. St. Paul's Saints baseball on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Charging hard. He leaves his feet and dives to make the catch.
Our broadcast start with Live from Lower Town with Ben Holson and Sean Aronson. We talk Saints, baseball, and more starting at 5 p.m. Then the Saints pregame show starts at 6:45 p.m., followed by play-by-play from Sean.
Drilled high, deep left field, well hit, way back, goodbye!
Every Saturday, Saints home game on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.